Good morning. It's just after 8 o'clock, and you're listening to KVNF. This is regional news for the Western Slope. I'm Travis Bubinick. The sheriff and district attorney for Mesa County recently told county commissioners they're not happy with proposed budget cuts to their department. As the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports, D.A. Pete Hotzinger said his department is already, quote, bleeding. Our femoral artery is pouring out blood, and my agency is dying, Hotzinger said, adding that the county's proposed 1.5% cut to the DA's office are unjustified since the office is already losing employees to private practice and other jobs that pay more. According to the Daily Sentinel, the county's DA office has seen a 100% turnover rate since employee salaries were frozen in 2009. The sheriff's department is facing similar cuts, but Sheriff Stan Hilke said his department has already gotten rid of 27 full-time employees since 2010. Hilke worries further cuts would lead to a reduction of public services. Both Hotzinger and Hilke called on commissioners to consider dipping deeper into reserve funds for the 2014 budget. The county is expected to see a revenue decrease of 5.2% next year as compared to this year, while the budget for overall funds is expected to shrink by about $9 billion. The Colorado Beverage Association, a Denver-based industry lobbying group, is stepping up its campaign against the proposed soda tax in Telluride. The measure, known as Question 2A, would place a 1% per fluid ounce excise tax on sugary beverages sold in the town. As The Watch reports, opponents of the tax say it would burden business owners with new regulations and infringe on consumers' rights. Meanwhile, the group Kick the Can Telluride, a citizens-based group supporting the measure, has stepped up its efforts as well. The group recently hired a campaign manager and has started buying advertising and hosting community talks on the issue. Question 2A's supporters say it will help tackle Colorado's high childhood obesity rates. They also say the new tax revenue could be used to fund local scholarships and physical fitness programs. Opponents, meanwhile, criticize the fact that those new revenues come from the sale of sugary drinks, meaning that over time, that revenue source would decline if the aim is to cut down on people consuming those drinks. 2 weeks ago, the Elk Creek coal mine in Somerset laid off more than half of its employees. The Oxbow Mining Company, owned by billionaire Bill Koch, hopes to expand operations again in the future and rehire some of the workers. In the meantime, the layoffs are creating hardships for a number of communities. Aspen Public Radio's Elise Thatcher has more.
You know, it's a very sad time around the mine. You know, to lose your income and lose your job is real traumatic. So it's a very painful decision for us.
Mike Ludlow is Executive Vice President of Oxbow's Mining Operations. Ludlow was on the management team that laid off 150 workers earlier this month. Today, he's giving a tour of operations in the Elk Creek mine that are still running. The mine is in the tiny town of Somerset, and many of the workers travel from other communities. The layoffs hit this coal country hard, and they come less than 2 years after the mine owner, Oxbow Mining, was granted permission to expand the Elk Creek operations. Still, Ludlow says miners were laid off because of dangerous working conditions. Part of the mine caught fire twice in the last year, and efforts to make it safer were unsuccessful.
With three mines, there's about 1,000 people employed. And it's real common to have one person working here and another brother at another mine, or a father that had worked here or still works here and a son. So it's a very close-knit community.
And now dozens of miners are looking for work. They will be hard-pressed to find jobs that pay as well as Oxbow does.
I'm Doug Ashley. I'm a Delta County Commissioner. The coal mining jobs are wage incomes in Delta County that literally can't be replaced based on the other industries that we have.
According to Ashley, mining incomes can range $70,000 a year or more. When the mine announced the layoffs, some workers took to a community Facebook page searching for jobs. Some posted they had found work,
which probably will necessitate a move, which puts pressure on the real estate market. It's a ripple effect, so we're very concerned about that.
The miners received severance checks, a move Oxbow officials say is rare. Indeed, the entire coal mining sector is facing a number of challenges. Among these industry strains, according to the Colorado Mining Association, are new environmental regulations and high transportation costs for moving Colorado coal to international markets. Aspen Public Radio talked with Brad Goldstein, a spokesman for Oxbow Corporation, about the industry as a whole. He says higher costs and tighter government pollution rules did not play a role in letting go half of its workforce at Elk Creek.
Fortunately for us, that mine produces coal, which is low in mercury and low in sulfur, which is highly sought after.
And that, says at least one coal analyst, bodes well for mines in the near term and beyond. Andrew Moore is an editor of the energy news service, Platts.
The long view actually is bullish, both for domestic coal consumption and for overseas coal consumption.
The combination of high-quality coal and increasing demand will likely steer Oxbow's plans for the Elk Creek mine. It will take a sizable investment to continue mining profitably. Since the fire's costly mining equipment is sealed deep below the ground and laying idle, estimates are that it would be as much as $80 million to replace it. Still, despite the layoffs, parts of the mine are operating.
So if you look up here to the right, we have our coal stockpiles. We've got two stacking tubes, and that allows us to segregate coal.
Again, Oxbow Mining Executive Vice President Mike Ludlow. He is hopeful.
Optimistically, I'd like to think that some of the employees that have been laid off would have opportunities coming back in the near future.
Given the time it takes to build new machinery and open up more sections to mining, any rehiring is likely more than a year off. Elise Thatcher, Aspen Public Radio News.
A Denver District Court judge on Tuesday threw out a late challenge to the petition process for Amendment 66, the proposed increase on state income taxes that would fund public schools. As the Denver Post reports, the judge dismissed a lawsuit brought by two former state legislators and opponents of the measure. The suit claimed petition circulators had violated some procedures and that around 40,000 of the signatures gathered in support of the measure should be invalidated. The two former legislators, Bob Hagerdin and Norma Anderson, are both involved with Coloradans for Real Education Reform, the main opposition group against the measure. Hagerdin told the Post he's not sure whether an appeal will be filed. If approved by voters, Amendment 66 would raise state income taxes and create a two-tiered system based on income. A large part of that new revenue would go to funding education programs for at-risk youth. The Delta County Library District has been selected as one of five libraries across the country to take part in a trial of newly available super Wi-Fi technology. Now that most TV broadcasting has moved from analog to digital, the Federal Communications Commission is trying out different ways to fill in that old analog TV broadcasting space. The FCC selected the Delta Library District to run a trial period of this technology that will last through the end of this year. John Gavin is the IT manager for Delta Libraries. He says the FCC has a history of experimenting with broadcasting space.
If you look back historically, things like CB radio, microwave ovens, Wi-Fi itself, garage door openers, baby monitors, all of this stuff just emerged when the FCC made unlicensed spectrum available.
The project is aimed at helping expand the availability of the internet in rural areas, especially those without fiber optic lines that can carry high-speed connections. The town of Paonia was chosen as the home base for the trial. Residents and visitors can now access free Wi-Fi on Grand Avenue, and Gavin says there are plans to put up another hotspot in the Paonia Town Park. The library district will be gathering data on how the hotspots are being used and will give that data to the FCC once the trial period is over. Gavin says the town could then decide to buy the equipment and keep the hotspots running on a more permanent level. The technology could be spread to neighboring towns and counties, but Gavin says it's still a bit early to plan that far ahead.
It's not yet fully approved by the FCC. It's in a trial state, so until it becomes a publicly available product, we probably won't go beyond where we are right now with this trial.
Asked if he's worried about people overusing the free Wi-Fi signal, Gavin says he does have the power to limit people's access, but hopes that won't be necessary.
Right now I have it pretty wide open. We're just blocking things like peer-to-peer and file sharing because that has obvious bad connotations. So I'm hoping people will be generally honest and upfront and not abuse the service.
For KVNF News, I'm Travis Bubinick.